This is history.
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 Made up as we go along.
Welcome to the first episode of History Improv, where a history expert surprises us improvisers with a historical event that we then act out on the spot.
Yes, welcome. I'm Trent Edwards, here with Steve Fate, and this is how our show works. Picture a group of geeks with absolutely no idea what they're about to perform. A mysterious stranger hands them an envelope. They open it and immediately start ad-libbing fun scenes based on the few details they've been given about a historical event.
Yeah, so we bring in guest improvisers to play with us. Trent, you procured our first player. Why don't you tell the good listeners more about him?
Scott Borden. I met him in improv school at Houston Station Theater, and he cracks me up. He gets me every time. And we're still performing as part of the troupe Ghost Balloon.
And as you'll quickly find out, we're not history experts in the least. So we bring one in to give us the event and then tell us later if we got any of it right in our performance. Our expert for this episode is Randy Baker. Randy currently teaches AP American Government and College Prep Economics at Terra Linda High School, just north of San Francisco, which is where I am.
Without further ado, this is History Improv'd.
Totally awesome!
All right, we've got Scott Borden in the house. Scott's one of the only guys I know that could give Steve a run for his money in like the radio broadcaster voice.
Oh, pressure's on.
Yeah, the pressure's on. I'm not trying to build friction between you guys.
Yeah, that's no problem. I got my iron pipe that I usually use for the knees. I'm just going to put that aside for now. Welcome, Scott.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for putting the pipe away. I was initially very intimidated by the sight of that iron pipe.
Well, that's the point. Yeah.
It worked.
Well, we're super excited you're here. So without further ado, are you ready to make history, Scott?
I would. Yes. Yeah, absolutely, Trent and Steve. I am absolutely ready to make history.
All right. I was a little worried there for a second, but yeah, you recovered. Good.
All right. It's time to check out the Wayback 3000 machine for this episode's historical event.
All right. Here we are. Our event, Wall Street bombing of 1920. The major players are J.P. Morgan, William Remick, and Mario Buda.
I'm really feeling Canadian on this one.
Well, you've definitely heard of Wall Street.
Yes, that's true. And J.P. Morgan.
Well, there you go. And I don't know if you know this about the Wall Street bombing, but it occurred in the 1920s.
Oh, see, okay. Well, I think someone's going to lead the dance here.
We have a leader.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know it as well, Steve? I really don't know.
I don't know this particular event. No, I know J.P. Morgan, and that's about it too.
All right, so Scott should lead it, I think.
What were the other characters?
William Remick and Mario Buda. I assume I'm saying his name right. Buda, Mario Buda.
I have like zero knowledge of either of these characters. Actually, I have very little knowledge of even J.P. Morgan.
I got something.
Okay. So we've got Audrey standing by for sound effects.
There we go. We open on a bar.
Mario, how did you do with the World Series bet last week?
I lost. I didn't do that well. I think I put my money down on the wrong team.
You didn't put it down on the White Sox?
No, I put it down on the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Oh. Well, considering they weren't even in the World Series, I think you might have been a little misguided. Mario, I gave you that tip. Bet on the White Sox. They were a cinch.
Yeah, that's my fault. That's my fault. I thought you said make sure you wear white socks, and so I did, and I went and I bet on the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Well, I see you're wearing white socks now. That doesn't really go with the tux. I don't, Mario. You're just a wreck.
I can't disagree with you, boss. I can't disagree. I am a total wreck. It's really because of my girlfriend. She left me.
Yeah. Well, that is tough to hear. Bartender, can we get a couple more here?
What are you ordering? I'm not your personal bartender. Like, what do you want?
Let's see, Mario, you were, drinking rum and lemonade?
Yeah, rum and pink lemonade, if you got it.
Are you kidding me right here? You got whiskey, you got rum, you got straight drinks. What are you ladies doing here? Like, come on, I got not a lot of time. Manhattan? Manhattan, no. I'm just kidding with that. Manhattan, that's obviously a joke.
Pardon me? Manhattan is a joke?
Yeah, I mean, wait, no. I'm not talking about Big Apple. No, this is the greatest city in the world, obviously. I'm talking about the drink. It's clearly for the ladies.
Listen here, what is it? Daniel, apparently. I own this bar. I own this building.
Oh. He owns this whole block.
What are you trying to tell me? Like a J.P. Morgan or something? Are you kidding me? I'm not stupid. I would never talk to J.P. Morgan. You do look a lot like that. Oh, God.
It's the nose.
Sir, I'm so sorry. I don't know. I've just been going through a lot at home, you know, a lot. And, I'm taking it out on customers every once in a while. But I promise I'll do better. Anything you want, I'll make it special for you.
Yeah. You want me to take care of this guy, boss?
Please. No, sir. No, sir. Please don't. I know you got powerful people, and you, sir, are clearly a powerful man. I don't know what I was thinking.
Well, then maybe you best get some of those pink lemons in here.
Yeah, pink lemonade.
Pronto,
the best pink lemonade we got.
Yeah.
Hey, snap, let's do this. We got some pink lemonade back there. No, seriously. For these guys, these manly men that I so much respect.
Yeah, and Mario, now that he's gone, we got to make sure he's out of here. I don't want to see him again. And hopefully we won't have any problems with him in the future. Does he seem like the kind of guy that would retaliate in any, let's say, explosive manner?
I don't know. He's dressed pretty well. The other night he was dynamite with me and my gal. But if you want me to get him lost, I could certainly do that.
Nothing violent. Just make sure that he gets out the door and doesn't come back.
You got it, boss.
All right. I have a meeting to go to.
Okay, boss. Any other tips? Like what kind of shirt I should wear? I'm all ears.
Let's start with black socks and go from there.
You got it, boss. You got it.
Cut to Daniel's apartment.
Hey, Maria. I can't afford the rent this month. Okay, you got to chip in too. I'm a bartender. I'm not like the Bronx Bombers. I'm not making money hand over fist here. Come on, you got to help me out. A little bit of something.
Come on, Daniel, come on, what are you talking? Why are you unloading this on me here? I got the kid here. Anyway, I can't get out of the house and pull in an income. You got a man up here, Daniel. I can't go halfway on this.
Man up? You busting my balls again? Like, come on. I'm already working 12-hour shifts. It's that J.P. Morgan guy. He doesn't pay us nothing almost. It's not me. I'm busting my ass all the time. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you could ask your uncle, what's his name, Luca? Ask your uncle for a little, just to tide us over, just a little something.
This is the last time, Daniel. This is the last time I'm going to do this for you.
It's the last time, for sure.
Hello? Luca?
Yeah, you got me. What do you need, baby doll?
It's your niece. I need some help with, we need some help with Daniel's having a rough time, and you're the guy that, helps people out.
Yeah. See, I can help you out there. You need a few clamors, you need something to fix, or what do you need there? Let me know.
Well, I'm just not in a situation where I can help out. You know, I got the kid and everything, but maybe you and Daniel can kind of, you know, meet up and talk about you know, how you can help us out, what you can set him up with, maybe.
Yeah, just tell him I'll be right there. I'm going to come by the apartment and talk it out with him.
Okay, thanks, Luca. I love you.
All right, baby, way to go. Now go get me some meatloaf.
Cut to the downstairs lobby at the Crown Estates.
All right, Daniel. You know, my niece told me to come by and talk to you, and I'm here to help you out. Only because you're my niece's favorite.
Thank you so much, sis. Thank you so much. You're the greatest. I've always looked up to you, and you're the king in my eyes. I'm just so happy that you're in our family.
Listen, I got a favor to ask of you, though. If I give you the rent money this month, I'm going to need you to do me a favor.
Anything for you. Anything for you, Mr. Luca. Anything.
Okay, well, I got a beef with one of the guys that owns that bar that you work at. He's a big shot, and I need him taken out.
You got a beef? I got a beef with him, too. Any big shot, I'll do it.
All right, what I'm thinking is maybe you slip him a Mickey, you know, while he's when he orders a drink. Maybe you serve him something that's a little hotter than he's used to, and it takes him down a peg.
I could do that. I just have to, just got to be slick about it, you know? Make it one of those times when there's a lot of bartenders working, and maybe somebody slips him something. I don't know if it's me, maybe somebody else.
Well, maybe it's you, because I'm asking you to do it. Maybe you take this vial right here. This vial full of, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's something serious. And maybe you take that vial and you accidentally, on purpose, slip it into his drink. And then he imbibes, and then let me take it from there.
Accidentally on purpose, it's happening.
Hey, don't, whatever you do, do not open that cap before you are ready to use it. And do not smell what's inside that vial. You got it?
Oh, yeah, I got it. No problem.
Okay, here's that. Here's your rent money, and give my niece a kiss on the cheek, if you would.
Definitely. I treat her with the most respect. She is my angel.
Cut to taxi cab.
Oh, man. I can't believe it. I got to do this thing. I don't want to lay my troubles on you, mister, but... I gotta talk to somebody, and I can't talk to anybody in the family. I've got this, I got this thing I gotta do, and,
Well, where to, Mac? We're still sitting here. I mean, I need some direction here.
I'm sorry, I'm all out of sorts. Just take me down to, 5th and Broadway.
Oh, okay.
I gotta go, I got something I gotta do.
Okay, all right.
You into, Taxicab Confessions? I was thinking maybe I could just unload this, because I can't tell my priest, because he knows everybody and he talks. He's a talker.
I thought that priest was not supposed to say anything.
I thought so too, but this guy. I gotta tell you, it won't take long. I'll hit you another nickel.
We're not moving very fast anyway, so I got some time, you got some time. Yeah, I'm all ears.
Okay, let's say you're really great at your job, but your job just don't respect you. It doesn't pay you what you should get. And you find yourself in a bit of a hole. You enjoy imbibing a little bit, you know, a little bit of the whiskey, right? Every guy, he's got to get some whiskey, right?
Of course.
We're no angels. So maybe you get in the hole a bit and you can't pay your rent. You got to do what you got to do for the money, right?
Yeah, that's,
Hey! Hey! Look out over there!
Alright, sorry.
Freaking.
Anyway.
Those damn guys with the horses dropping their crap everywhere. I'm with you.
As you were saying.
I'm not a big time kind of guy, you know? Like, I gotta do something, but I don't wanna do it. But. Do you think it's bad to just smell what I got here? Could you maybe smell it?
Ah!
What's it smell like?
Oh, I don't. Oh, it's like what's that? What's the
You're looking really funny.
Nitroglycerin?
What? I don't. Come on. What are you, like, all of a sudden you're a Rhodes Scholar?
Hey.
You're a taxi cab driver, bub. Come on.
I was an engineer in the army in the war, so I know the stuff. It's, yeah, that's nitro.
What's this nitro do?
It goes boom.
Goes boom.
Yeah. Like, boom. Like, kapow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, in a drink?
You don't even know why you're carrying nitroglycerin around and you...
No, I'm not so big on the details. I just do what I'm told. So I don't... Maybe we shouldn't... Maybe just don't tell nobody, okay? I'm just gonna go about my business and whatever happens, happens.
Right, well... you got me a little nervous here. I'm gonna have to... Can I just drop you off in Wall Street? Yeah,
Just drop me off here.
Yeah, okay.
Cut to the stock exchange on Wall Street.
Yo, hey, slow down. Listen to me. Before you go in there, you're going to need to show your identification.
Identify what?
Yeah, I can't let you onto the floor of the exchange without the proper identification. What happens if you were, one of those guys that was here to do some, take down the exchange, you're here at the exchange, you could be one of those guys. It's, a secret banker or something trying to find out inside information. I can't just let you onto the floor exchange without the proper identification.
Look at me. Come on. Look at this guy. You think I could, like, have any secret banking knowledge? Come on. Give me a break.
All right. I'm going to give you a little test and before I let you in. You're going to have to name me a famous banker.
You want me to name you a famous banker?
Yeah. So maybe a famous banker that you know. That would be the only reason you're here, right?
Oh, of course. J.T. Morgan.
Did you say J.T. or J.P.?
What you said.
He's got a brother, but I don't think his brother is allowed in the exchange anymore. But J.P., you said J.P. Morgan?
Yeah, J.P. Morgan. That's what I said.
Yeah, he's a famous banker. All right, I'll let you in. Go through those doors.
Thanks so much. All right. You won't regret it.
Oh, excuse me. Didn't mean to startle you there. My brother is a big shot around here, and I just kind of came in from out of town. I'm JT.
I just heard you're not supposed to be in here.
Yeah, well, I'm just kind of trying to keep a low profile. But what's you packing?
No, packing? No, come on. I'm just a friendly guy. Like, I want to impress my girl. So, why, you like your brother a lot, right? You think he's a good guy?
I don't really see him.
He's not a good guy, is he? He's the kind of guy that, gets everything easy. He gets all the right questions and he goes through life and never has to work hard.
Oh, that's not his problem. He's ruthless as hell.
It's, ruthless. I get it.
Yeah, but
okay.
Yeah, no, he works hard. He's just an asshole.
Asshole. Perfect.
Yeah. So, perfect. I've often said that he'll get what's coming to him.
Mm-hmm. But I think you're right. I think you're right. I think he will.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you ain't heard it from me. Oh. Thanks for sharing there.
Oh yeah. So gotta follow your gut.
I'm gonna just check out this exchange thing. It's
go ahead and check it out. And now that people know I'm here, I'm just gonna skedaddle. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, whatever your name is. I don't think I got it.
All right, well, welcome into... Hey, Daniel! You're that guy from the bartender. You're a bartender, right? What are you doing here at the stock exchange? What's that bottle in your hand? You brought me one of the special drinks, huh?
No, what? No, I just, my lady, she wanted me to come down here. There's no bottle, it's just, just something I was going to bring to the bar later.
Well,
nothing.
You snuck into the back room where the bar is, and, I'm glad to see you, because you always make me a fantastic drink, and, I'll tell you what, I'm a bit parched, and, we've had a busy day on Wall Street. I made myself $1,000 today. If that impresses you, it should.
$1,000?
Yeah, just today.
I haven't seen $1,000 in my whole life.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you make me one of them fancy drinks, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a 10 spot.
A 10 spot? Woo! Sure thing. I can do that for you. What's your name again?
My name is Buddha.
Buddha? Oh, wait. Yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah, I'll make you a drink. Just a second. Here you go, Mr. Buddha.
Well, I appreciate that. I sure appreciate that. This drink, it smells funny.
Yeah, it's just a special little addition. We're just trying some new drinks. We thought, you know, a very special clientele, we would give it to them. You mentioned the 10 spot. I thought only the best for you, Mr. Buddha. Only the best.
Yeah, it kind of smells like, smells like the ammunition depot that died.
Cut to outside the rubble of the New York Stock Exchange.
I can't believe it. Oh my God, I think I cut myself on shrapnel.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, Charlie. You got to be careful about all that shrapnel. Especially after an explosion like that, you know, it's quite a deal.
I ain't never seen nothing like that. That's amazing. I feel like I'm part of history. Nothing ever happens like that in my burbs.
I guess you just made history, huh?
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Yeah. Here comes that reporter. I heard about him. He writes for the Times.
Hey, you guys witnesses? You guys are witnesses of that bombing? The stock exchange, it just blew up. Half of the stock exchange, it blew up. Hey, were you in there?
Yeah, we was in there. It was crazy. All of a sudden, everything was everywhere.
Yeah, it looks like you got a little shrapnel or something in your hand.
Oh, my God.
It looks like you're bleeding.
I am bleeding.
Oh, man. Oh, jeez. Oh, that doesn't look good at all.
Mama, I'm bleeding.
It looks like you're in bad shape there, buddy.
Why are you still talking like that?
Give me a quote for the papers.
I'm dying.
He's dying. Oh, he's bleeding out, folks. I wish I could. Here I am. The whole place is on fire. This guy's bleeding out. There's bodies everywhere. I can't believe it.
You sound like you're talking to the radio, but you're a newspaper reporter.
Yeah, but I'm trying. I'm going to work my way up in the radio someday.
God damn it. I'm dying to be a radio newspaper guy.
What's your name? What's your name, kid?
Charlie Peralta.
How do you spell that? Wow, what a scoop, guys. I can't believe it. Oh, hey, sorry, I didn't see you. You snuck up behind me there, kid. Did you see it? Did you see what happened?
Oh.
Hey, you look familiar. You look really familiar. Hey, you're J.P. Morgan.
Yep, that's me. I haven't seen this type of destruction on Wall Street since the Panic of 1893.
Oh, jeez.
Looks like I gotta come in and save the day again.
Yeah, can I quote you on that, JP? JP Morgan, saves the day again.
Yep.
You can quote me on that.
Hey, JP! You think you might give me a job on your, in your big office?
Can you tend bar? The end!
Yay! Very good.
Something.
Yeah, that was fun.
I was wondering how many variations of the New York accent we could do.
Yeah, right. That's right. You did very well.
It appears three or four.
For me, it's like one and a half. Charlie and Daniel sound a lot alike. They're from the same neighborhood.
They were in a band together. Charlie Daniels.
Band.
So, Scott, that was fun. Thanks for doing that.
Okay.
With us.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Trent. Hopefully that, and look for yourself on the cutting room floor, Scott. We should be able to work around that just fine.
And I'm sure we will find out that we nailed
everything
this event.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure it's obviously accurate. I'm sure it's absolutely accurate.
Yeah.
Nitroglycerin's got to be involved.
Yeah, in drinks.
In cocktails.
That's right.
Yes. Okay, cool. Hey, thanks for having me. It's been a blast.
And we'll be right back with Randy Baker after this break.
And now we're happy to have our history expert join us, Randy Baker.
Well, thank you for calling me an expert. I really appreciate that.
Well, you are our expert. Thanks for coming on. We're really excited to learn all about what actually happened in the 1920 Wall Street bombing, which you may have noticed was not something that I knew the finest details of. Did we get anything right?
Well, you had some of the characters absolutely right on. Your bar scene, I thought, was fabulous. The New York accents, even better.
Oh, good. They're authentic. Good.
And I thoroughly enjoyed your take on them and what you did with them. But we can clarify exactly what their roles were and if any in this event back in 1920.
Well, I guess we could start with, so I was saying J.P. Morgan, banker, Scott and Steve knew him well, but all I know is that he was, a major player, a major banker. But what is it? What was his role in this? How did he become one of the main players in the Wall Street bombing?
That's a great place to start. We don't really know. Which is pretty fascinating about this event. And a lot of speculation, surrounds this whole event. But let's start with J.P. Morgan. He was probably one of the three or four wealthiest people in the United States at the time. This event happened, of course, in a kind of the last period of American history that we call and refer to as laissez-faire capitalism, where there's little regulation on what business can do. So J.P. Morgan and others took advantage of that and did what they could to make as much money as possible. I think in helping us better understand exactly how J.P. Morgan was involved is really to start with what happened that day.
Yes.
So at 12:01 p.m., September 16th, 1920, a man with a horse-drawn cart stops in front of the U.S. Assay office, which is right across the street from the J.P. Morgan building in New York, in Lower Manhattan. According to witnesses, he gets out, leaves the scene quickly. A couple of minutes later, explodes. The whole place erupts in explosion. Immediately, about 30 people were killed. Several hundred were seriously injured. And, of course, this happened right across the street from J.P. Morgan's building. The New York Stock Exchange was just down the block from J.P. Morgan's building.
Were any notable people killed by the explosion or should have been there kind of thing at the time of the explosion?
No, just a lot of people who were around. The 30 plus people who died during the event were just people who were out for lunch, messengers, clerks, some traders, but J.P. Morgan himself was in Europe at the time.
So what damage, like physical damage, was there? Like, was it, you know, several buildings torn to pieces, or was it just that one assay building?
How bad the explosion was is remarkable. There was a article in the New York Times back in the day. A man five blocks away got hit in the neck with a piece of shrapnel, which means the metal had to go over the buildings.
Wow.
And he picks it up and it's hot, you know, and of course he returns it to authorities and they identify it as a piece of the bomb.
Hmm.
Interestingly enough, no building was destroyed. There was a lot of damage. Of course, if you look at the early photographs of the period, some cars were overturned, completely demolished. And remarkable as it might seem, if you go to J.P. Morgan's building today, it's still standing, and there is still some shrapnel that you can see on the front of the building that's still visible.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Hmm. Is that meant as a memorial or that type of thing?
That's a great question. Yeah, I don't know why they've never repaired that.
Hmm. Crazy. Was there any kind of major fallout?
So let me just go ahead and say that no one was ever arrested for this event in crime. That said, there were several suspects and speculation around why the bombing happened. And it was based on the Red Scare that was happening at the time. Remember the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917 and, of course, this bombing. They were looking for, you know, communists and anarchists. And for that, they had to look at a little bit of history. Just a year prior, in 1919, the U.S. Attorney General, A. Mitchell Palmer, a bomb exploded outside his home in Washington, D.C. And in that event, perpetrator was never caught because the explosion went off early and it killed him. And there was little evidence of that, but they figured it out. It was this group of anarchists that had been operating in the United States even during World War I. And remember, World War I just ended 2 years prior. So they honed in on Italian anarchists. And that's where Mario Buda comes into play. He was part of this group known as the Gallienists. And they supported this guy named Luigi Gallieni, who had produced this and published this paper during World War I and was eventually closed down and shut down based on the Espionage Act for that. So there was this effort by these anarchists to really, through bombings and explosions and hurting people, well-known people in America, to try and change the course of politics and government. But in terms of investigation, you know, one of the sites, you know, you go to learn about this is FBI.gov, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, whose predecessor was the Bureau of Investigation in 1920. And you go to the website today and they, of course, reference this event and they criticize their predecessor, the Bureau of Investigation, for pretty much shutting down the investigation and after a day after it happened. I mean, they had the place cleaned up one day after the explosion so business could go on as usual.
Hmm.
So very little, not as much evidence was gathered compared to what we would expect today. You know, they would have had that thing closed off for several days, maybe weeks, looking for pieces of evidence.
They didn't have the forensics knowledge or equipment back then. Was this common back then to be such a quick turnaround for, okay, we've got it cleaned up, or was this back in the day, were eyebrows raised by, hey, why are they just, is that they're trying to like put this under the rug or embarrassment or?
Good. Another good question. The next day, September 17th, there was a planned celebration of the Constitution Day, and they still held it the next day. So that kind of gives you an idea of how they, at the time, wanted to get back to normal as quickly as possible. But the FBI, or not the FBI, but the Bureau of Investigation did figure out that there was some shrapnel that alluded to the fact that it was a bomb. And they also suspected TNT. Mm-hmm. But you're right, they didn't have the forensic evidence that they do today to really do, you know, they had a chemist come in and try and figure that out. The city police, the city fire department, even the Secret Service were involved in the investigation. But as I said, you know, after they closed the site down after a day, all they could do was try and figure out why it happened.
If you're an anarchist and you just did this as a big scare factor, did it accomplish its goal in that way for anything? Because they held that event the next day, right? So it,
yeah.
Did people show up?
It's really interesting because I read another New York Times article trying to figure out if they'd found any suspects. And there was this tiny article a couple of weeks later, which kind of suggests how less important the whole event was, about an immigrant Italian who was arrested for illegally transporting explosives. And he was put in jail for one day, you know, so.
That'll learn him.
Yeah, that'll learn him right, yeah.
I'm thinking about Mario Buda right now. I'm thinking, they had him as a suspect. They didn't charge him with anything. Did he go on to do any other bombings that he was actually connected to, or the Gallienists, did they have any kind of major impact? And this is like a warm-up act.
Mario Buda is an interesting character. He was definitely a Gallienist. Another couple of Italian immigrants you may be more familiar with are Sacco and Vanzetti. He was best friends to those guys, and they had been arrested shortly before this event for the bombing and murder earlier, and that goes on to be a very showcase trial of anarchism and what America needs to do to really stop it. And they become the showcase. Sacco and Vanzetti became the showcase. Mario Buda eventually gets deported. He knew Luigi Gallieni and worked for him on this publication. He himself was just a laborer, as were Sacco and Vanzetti. So you have also this connection of labor versus business and the rise of unionism. This really becomes really a big time for the increase in union membership, which capitalists and unions to this day still have a difference of opinion, if you will, on the way government should handle capitalism and labor.
You'd also said that this was, there was no regulation, or there was very little regulation in banking at the time anyway. This is the height of progressive era. Were we on the verge of starting to see some of that regulation come in? Maybe not necessarily as a result of this, but, you know, in the ensuing years immediately afterwards.
Well, we also have to back up a little bit because President Teddy Roosevelt did do a lot of what he called, quote unquote, trust busting.
Mm-hmm.
But the subsequent presidents after that kind of laid off. In 1920, we're entering this, what they call the Republican decade and the Roaring Twenties, where investment really starts to take off and people start investing in the stock market and getting rich quick without regulation. And of course, this is 9 years before the 1929 stock market crash. But at the same time, there's also a lot of interesting history going on. Less than a month before this event, the 19th Amendment to the Constitution was ratified, giving women the right to vote. A month before this. So a lot of things are going on, and this is happening in New York. I think for most Americans, it happened in New York. It's not going to happen in my town.
Interesting. So long-term impacts from the bombing, do any come to mind?
You know, interestingly enough, I hadn't heard about this until 9/11. And I think most Americans had not heard about this event because they're looking for, okay, is there any historical context for why this kind of thing happens? I don't know if there's been anything learned. What's really interesting, I found also in the newspapers of the day, is they treat it much like we would today. William Remick, he was the president of the New York Stock Exchange. He shut down trading about a minute after the event happened because he saw that there was going to be some kind of a panic with regard to trading.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really interesting. And so fast forward to 9/11, they shut down the New York Stock Exchange the exact same way. And back in 1920, they started looking at the other in Chicago. There was a exchange and the other exchanges, they shut them down as well, thinking there might be, you know, a copycat bombing. If you remember after 9/11, what did they do? Even here in San Francisco, they shut down the Golden Gate Bridge, you know? So that, I think, was the lesson learned, but it's so interesting to see that we respond pretty much similarly as we did in 1920.
Yeah, it's always going to be the way probably with humans, right? Like, I don't know what just happened. Everybody stop doing what you're doing. let's just don't do anything crazy. Everybody stop. Yeah. Well, that was a really interesting historical event that I had not heard of. So thanks for bringing that to our attention. I think a lot of our listeners will be in the same boat where they'll be like, what? Wall Street bombing? Really? And a fascinating era as well. So thanks for bringing all your insights as well about the era.
Hey, that was fun.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, I can't wait to listen to more of these.
Oh, good.
I'm going to be a new subscriber.
All right.
Excellent. Tell all your friends.
Oh, we will. All right. Take care, you gentlemen.
Well, that was History Improved. Hope you all enjoyed it. Trent, that was pretty fun.
It really was. And I'm super happy that we were able to start it with Scott Borden.
Scott was a ton of fun. I loved working with him.
Yeah, he's always clever and so much wit. And I loved our interview as well with Randy Baker. Fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
So if I got Randy right, the Wall Street bombing effectively ended America's laissez-faire capitalism love affair.
Yeah, that was interesting. Now, one of the things that I realized later is I had to look it up because something wasn't quite clicking for me. Now, J.P. Morgan died in 1913. So J.P. Morgan Jr. was alive then. And the J.P. Morgan building was kind of like the big player in this. So I think that the J.P. Morgan that I was playing was kind of not the J.P. Morgan that we were talking about, but it was fun anyway.
J.P. Morgan II. Yes, a huge difference. I could go on and on with all the knowledge I have of J.P. Morgan II, but we're out of time, sadly. So I guess we'll have to end it with that.
Oh, yeah. We're out of time on a podcast. Yes. I mean, I guess the only other thing would be I named the main bomber Daniel, so I didn't pick any name of any historical figure that Randy gave us ahead of time.
That's right. You know, sometimes names just speak to you and you just have to go with them. Like maybe that was his nickname. Maybe that was a name of an alias he used. I don't know. I'm sure it was go with your gut, though, as an improver.
Yeah. Mario, a.k.a. Daniel.
Yeah. It's the most popular Italian nickname.
Another thing that I wanted to mention is Scott was actually right about the Dodgers being in the World Series. And I, as J.P. Morgan, was wrong. I was thinking about the 1919 World Series between the Black Sox, as they were called, and the Reds.
So close. Yes. The 1 year off, but That 1920 World Series was actually played 3 weeks after the Wall Street bombing, with the Cleveland Indians beating the Brooklyn Robins.
Mm-hmm.
Not Dodgers, but I think you were telling me there was a different nickname for the Brooklyn Robins.
Well, the Dodgers was their kind of nickname known to the fans, but they were officially called the Robins until later when they were officially called the Dodgers.
Well, if you wanted to learn more about that, you could check out our show notes, and there's a link to the Wikipedia page about the 1920 World Series.
Yeah, and those show notes also have other links to other interesting things that came up in the show.
Everything that you have a question mark, at least for me, any question marks I had, I made a show note and a link to the page. So you can either get just the surface level stuff, or you can dive right in. So that's part of our goal here with this podcast, is to just send you off on your journey to like, oh, there's something cool that somebody mentioned in the podcast, and I actually want to learn a lot more about that one thing.
Yes, we aim to confuse and educate.
We're very good at the former, and the latter we're working on.
All right. And to find out more about us, you can visit our website, historyimprov.com. It's actually spelled historyimproved.com.
Good job, Steve. Nice.
And hey, if you liked this episode of History Improv, please share it with someone you think might enjoy it. And please rate and review the show.
It'll really help History Improv make new friends. And we all know history and improv people need more friends. Right? Right? Steve? Hopefully we nail it first time.
Yeah. And here we are with our very first inaugural episode.
That means the same thing, Steve. Who I met in improv school at Station Theater in Houston, Texas, has come to be our funny. So I'll redo that.
So without further ado, how about we listen to that discussion. We want to listen to the whole thing.
We hope you have as much fun listening to our first episode as we did making the first. That's too wordy.
Hey, let me ask you something. Did you like this episode? If so, please share it with someone you think might enjoy it. And please rate and review the show.
Yeah, that's totally natural. Yeah, just go with that. I think we got it.